there are some congregations who do not enter into worship in the sanctuary. And I'm sure there are others that enter out of routine and tradition. Here's a story, if you will allow me to. I once heard there was an old Baptist preacher that was trying to sell his horse, in which he rode to church every prayer meeting and Sunday morning worship. A potential buyer came to the church for a test ride. The pastor told him, "Before you ride, let me remind you that this horse only responds to church talk." Now, to make him go, you must say, "Praise the Lord." And to make him stop, you must say, "Amen." So the man on the horse said, "Praise the Lord." And the horse started to trot. He said, "Praise the Lord" again. And the horse started to go. And then suddenly the man seen a cliff in the front of the horse and yelled, "Amen." The horse stopped right at the cliff. And the man wiped the sweat from his brow and says, "Praise the Lord." Now, what do you really think happened thereafter? Well, we know exactly what to say, but it has lost its meaning. In verse 1, we are told our praise is to be in the sanctuary. Sanctuary is a Hebrew word which refers to God's chosen meeting place. In the Old Testament, place was Beth Gilgal, the tabernacle or the temple. In the New Testament, the focus is no longer on the place of worship. It is of the people of worship. In fact, God is to be praised when the church gathers together for worship. Am I right about it this morning? Well, surprisingly, many believers today have no place in their hearts for church worship. Instead, they worship God at home in personal devotion. In fact, they praise God during a walk in the park or in the mall or when they are driving home on the interstate. Now, it is good to praise God at such time and in such ways. However, something is absent. Our praise is lacking something, if we do not also worship God within the church, in the assembly of his people, and the psalmist in our text gives a full instructions about praising God. First point this morning I want to bring to you: the music and the practice of worship. Psalms 150, 3 through 5 says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harps. Praise him with the timbering and dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbal. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbal. That's what it says in that verse. The sense of these verses is that you ought to pour out all of the stops and give God some praise with everything you got. The psalmist says, use your breath to blow the trumpet. Use your fingers to play the harp. Use your whole hands to hit the tambourine. Move your whole body and dance. This morning, talking about praise is what I do. Now there are string instruments, wind instruments, precision instruments. Sadly to say, in some churches on Sunday morning, it sounds more like BET award show than a Sunday morning worship service. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying here this morning. We are to give God praise like it's our last time. I want you to understand that no one of the main reasons we must praise God is God is worthy to be praised. Do you believe that today? Maybe somebody didn't catch it. I said God is worthy to be praised. Psalm 18 and the third verse says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So what are the steps to grasping God's listening ear? First, you must hear communication about him. That's proclamation. Secondly, be introduced to him. That's the plan of salvation. Thirdly, confess Christ and surrender your life to him. That's protocol. Fourthly, convert and make a complete turnaround for your iniquities. That's pathway. The next one is follow the act of obedience and baptism. That's the profession. And then the next one is take up and carry your cross and follow him daily. That's the progression. So when you call him, you will not be holding on to a call waiting line to hear from him.